I'm Christopher Lydon with Fabienne Cassius, a 17-year-old poet of young Haiti, broken Haiti, corpse-like Haiti, where a strong heart is still beating, the Haiti that people leave but never get away from, beautiful Haiti, the Haiti, as she says, that is who you are, people strong and rich in language, culture, history. This is Open Source from the Watson Institute at Brown University, an American conversation with global attitude, we call it. This one, the fifth with Haiti-minded artists since the catastrophic earthquake in January, is with a child of Haiti in Boston. Fabienne Cassius is a senior at a pilot public high school, another course to college, it's called, in Brighton. She was born in Haiti, came to the States with her mother at age 9, and has been writing mostly poetry ever since. She met us at the Grolier Poetry Bookshop in Harvard Square. Fabienne, I'd love to hear that letter to your father, part of a larger memoir for your father's diary.
Mm-hmm. So this is written about the day before I left Haiti, and it's basically, it's from a 9-year-old's point of view, I think, and it's talking about my father and how I felt about leaving him. So I'll just go right into reading it.
Please.
You are standing over 6 feet tall next to a hot pot of boiling pasta, washing your hands clean of black charcoal from a bucket. I am sitting on the table, watching you as you take out a head of onions and 2 red tomatoes from a big bag and begin dicing. Kembe, you say this to me curtly, handing over a tomato. Your focus is on your work, and I am focused on not being a bother. I am wearing my lime green shorts, a white tank top, and my hair is a mess of disobedient curls, plop on the top of my head, dancing their way down the frame of my face. You are wearing a white collared shirt, black slacks, and a black tie. I am 9, and you are somewhere between 30 and 40. Your eyebrows are pushing into your forehead, and the outmost corners of your eyes crinkle as you try not to cry. Bukisa, why? I access softly to the tabletop, and you pretend not to hear me. You continue dicing the onions, and I continue watching you. Behind us, my suitcases are lined up in front of the door. Papa, Bukisa. Daddy, why? I ask this a little louder, this time looking at you. Parce que pas gagné l'argent pour tes capables. Because there is not enough money for my ticket. You choke these words out to me cautiously, because of the onions or because of my questions. I am not sure, so I no longer say anything else, until a few moments later when I whisper, Mapsonjo, I will miss you. Bonjour. You take from me the red tomato and try to hide your tears. Then you are pouring milk from a can and into the pot, mixing together ingredients. The sauce turns white, red, and then pink again. You are almost done, and I continue watching, knowing our moments together is slipping away. Later, you are sitting on the branches of the crooked fruit tree outside as I am falling asleep on your lap. I hear my mom hustling throughout the house, making sure we have everything, and my uncle's reassuring her that we do. But we don't. We don't have you. I am not naive enough to try to fit you into my suitcase, but still not wise enough to understand the benefits of letting go. I begin chewing at my bottom lip as a bad habit that you have scolded me for infinitely. I am gnawing away at my childhood, and I do so until it bleeds. Like you, I have learned to hide my tears well, and so I sob silently. I don't remember much after that, but everyone says you carried me into my uncle's car and kissed my forehead before I left you, or before you left me. I don't remember any of this, and years later, as we speak on the phone every Monday, I still don't. I am on my bed pressing the phone into my cheekbones with my shoulders, writing down your email for the third time this month. Wiklil, did you write it? You asked me this for the second time. Oui, papa. Yes, daddy. I am drawing circles on the paper before me. I am 17, and I think you are still somewhere between 30 and 40. Outside, my brothers are slamming into each other violently against my door. Pablier. Don't forget. M'absonge. I'll remember. My mother is barking up the stairs, demanding and then pleading for my brothers to be quieter. Kijonye. How are you? You sound genuinely interested. My brothers are banging into the walls. My mother sighs heavily. I want to tell you about being homeless, how much my scalp burnt the first time I got my perm, and how I am not a straight-A student anymore, and how, like you, I can only say what I mean when I write down my words. I want to tell you about the many times I've almost given up, and how English is not the only strange thing in America. I want to tell you about my dreams, and how sometimes that I feel that I'm trying to catch them with a paswa, a colander. I want to talk to you about life, my life, and how I feel that I will never catch up to it. Muy bien. I'm doing well. I gnaw at my bottom lip. Fabienne, can you please come and help me? My mother's voice crawls its way up the stairs and abruptly ends our conversation. Hold on. My brothers chuckle, run into their rooms, slam the door behind them. They are banging on the adjacent wall of our bedrooms. I let out an exhausted sigh. Papa, faut m'aller. Daddy, I have to go. Je t'aime, I love you. You choke these words out. Je t'aime aussi. I love you too. I am gnawing on my bottom lip.
Fabienne, how are you dealing with the catastrophe?
It's really difficult to watch, like, on television how a home that I used to have is basically not there for me to go back to. I've always wanted to come back and visit, and my father's side of the family, they're all still there. And being that young and not being able to go back home freely and being able to visit family and going back to your culture and just seeing everything crumbling right before you is traumatizing. And I remember going back to school the day after the earthquake, and my school has many Haitians in it, and a lot of people in classes were just really down about the whole situation. I'm not even sure if down is the right word for it, because everyone was in bathrooms crying. There was this one young girl who just kept screaming, and just people literally could not physically handle the situation. And I remember I was speaking to one of my teachers, and I told her that I don't know what to do about it. I'm used to being the person that's there for everyone. Even in my family, I'm used to being the person that carries people through whatever it is that they're going through. And I remember speaking to her, and I told her I wanted to hold a benefit from Haiti. I wanted to grow and gather Haitians together and teach people about the culture and raise money for Haiti. And we actually, the week after, rushed and planned this night where everyone came together, and there was Haitian food and Haitian music, and I got a really big flag and I put it in my school, and everyone came that night. And it was, that made me feel a lot better to deal with it. It made me feel proud to know that even in a situation like that where everyone is broken and everyone is devastated by the situation, you can still come together and celebrate the culture and celebrate what it is that you know and love about being a Haitian. And I think that's what's helped me dealt with it, knowing that I could still stay strong, because I think Haitian people are strong people, and Haitian, the culture is a strong culture itself. So the best way for me to deal with it and to cope is to remind myself of who I am.
Meaning
that I'm not to say that the situation is not something that's difficult to handle, but I try not to be depressed about it. I try not to think that it's the end of the world or that Haiti will never get back on its feet, because I strongly believe that it will. And I feel that the reminding myself of who I am, and I think that's what a lot of Haitians should do, is to just stay strong in your culture, to stay strong in your language, and remind yourself of where it is you come from. Like, if you have family, to call them and speak to them, talk about memories or laugh, and, you know, join together, eat Haitian food, like, be happy about being a Haitian. And then, like, having that spirit, I think, is what's going to uplift Haiti again.
Fabienne, it sounds as if you're the go-to girl, the one who copes, but have you designated yourself also the one who's going to write about it and not explain it, but somehow frame the experience?
What I've chosen to do with when it comes to the earthquake and writing about it is I look at it, I consider myself to be young, and I look at it as Haiti, as a woman, basically, that's been broken, like this, reading throughout the history and how I consider Haiti as a raped country. I consider her as somebody that's been stolen from so many times, and eventually her land is just tired, and the earthquake is just her just basically exploding from being manipulated and used for too long and being pacified for too long. And so I've started writing many different pieces where I speak of Haiti as a person, like she's a woman and she's going through turmoil and she's going through heartbreak, and I don't see it as something that's ugly. I see pain as something that's actually very beautiful, and I see the earthquake as a way for her to just cleanse herself and to basically remind people of who she is and speak about the fact that she's there and she's not just an isolated island in on the world. Like, she has something to say, and this is just something that's the attention is negative, but I feel that this is just a way for her to speak and remind people that Haiti is strong and Haiti is here, and Haiti's been going through a lot, and this is not the beginning of it. So,
Is there a poem that you'd share with us about this woman?
I wrote a poem entitled The Reflector, and I remember writing this poem and thinking about how can I speak about Haiti in a way that's not repetitive about the island being broken and the buildings crashing down, and I wanted to make her as more than just a piece of land. I wanted her to have a personality and to be somebody. And so I wrote, I can actually read it right now.
Please.
I saw you. Your cheeks were hollow and your eyes bled from sorrow. You were hunched over from dread and your shoulder blades scarred from the weight of bags. You were terrifyingly thin and I felt your hip bones dance beneath my fingertips. Your eyelashes curled, hiding you as they have done for years now, and your mouth was full, chapped, and open, as if unable to contain your breath. You were corpse-like, and an emptiness oozed from every pore of your body. I recognized your breast, and underneath, I thought I felt what used to be the repetitive knocks of your heartbeat. You were hollow, weak, and scarred, scared. You were hiding while craving to be healed. Your thoughts gnawed at your skin, and left bite marks on your complexion. You hung over, unbalanced, wrenching your belly for support, willing yourself for strength. But it was too late for a new beginning, and too soon for redemption. You had made yourself death. Your fingertips retraced everything, reassuring their existence, gently. I couldn't make eye contact, and so I turned, before the mirror relayed back to me your tears.
Was that your own notion of Haiti as a suffering woman?
Yes. There are different lines in the poem where I'm basically speaking of the land, but I believe the line where I recognize your breast and underneath I thought I felt what used to be the repetitive knocks of your heartbeat. And that's to speak of just recognizing Haiti's culture and recognizing Haiti as a nation of people who are, I feel, pretty much are forgetting who they are. And when I say I felt what used to be the repetitive knocks of your heartbeat, I think the heartbeat is something that's strong and powerful in everyone, and it's basically the song that you go through in life. It's your own personal song, and I feel like Haiti had a repetitive knock on her, and that's been knocked down by the earthquake. And so saying that what used to be, and it's basically a plea to everyone that's Haitian to remember what that was and to remember what it is to be Haitian.
What is it to be Haitian after the earthquake?
I feel that the media has pretty much portrayed Haiti as something that's crumbling and not coming back. And that's something I don't agree with. And I feel that a lot of Haitians are... Oh, I grew up in a family where everyone's all, like, once you leave, you don't go back. And I think a lot of other Haitians have that mentality where they see the country as a place that you have to get away from because of the poverty and just the fact of feeling unsafe in a home that you love so much. And I think that being Haitian in America now after the earthquake, there are some people who try not to recognize themselves as Haitian. I remember watching the news after, and there was a man who was Haitian, and he was visiting Haiti at the time. And he was there while the earthquake happened, and I remember watching the news with my mother, and he was trapped in Haiti at the airport, and when he was coming back, there was a lot of newscast about it, and he got off the plane, and I remember the first thing he said was, it feels great to be home, and that really upset me. And I remember looking at my mom, and I'm like, what is he talking about, home? He's arriving in Florida, and that really made me angry. And I remember telling my mom, how does it make any sense for this man to be leaving his home and the situation that he is now and in the situation that Haiti is in now and to be stepping off the plane and to say that it's good to be home? I think being just, that made me feel that he rejected Haiti as his home. And I think being Haitian, and if you truly do love Haiti as for what it is, you need to remember that it is home, regardless of whatever it is that it is now. You need to remember that this is where you come from, and these are your people, and you need to give your heart and soul to it, and not partially, and not look at it as something that you just have sympathy for the people. You need to basically make Haiti who you are.
What's the response when you read these poems to Haitian audiences?
A lot of people, the reflector, I feel like I'm not sure if people understood what it was I was trying to get at until I actually explained it, but a lot of people when they read it are like, oh, Haiti as a woman, and I'm always skeptical about it because I'm not sure if everyone's getting what I'm trying to get at, but I feel that it makes them think differently, and that's what I want people to it's important for me to have people think of Haiti as more than just a wrecked piece of land. And I want people to embrace her for all the troubles that she's gone through and all the troubles that she no doubt will continue to go through. And the response that I want is for people to fall back in love with something that's broken, even if it is broken, and to try to rebuild it.
Fabienne, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Paul McCarthy recorded this conversation with Fabienne Cassius in the Grow Your Poetry Bookshop in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Ben Mandelkern edited it at the Watson Institute. Listeners, feedback your own experience, your own thoughts and feelings about the Haiti Challenge, the next Haiti, at our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lighton. Thank you for being part of the conversation.